With me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 2. Certainly was a blessing last night, the senior recital. Did a great job, and excited about what the Lord will do through the abilities of these young people as they live for the Lord. That was a blessing. And Hebrews chapter number 2. We spent some time talking about the importance of the authenticating of the message of the gospel of in the New Testament through the signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now we are going to look at further at this passage of Scripture as the writer of Hebrews gives the explanation for the apparent contradiction as they look at Christ and look at the fact that when he came to this earth, he appeared, or he came in a form lower than the angels. He took on human flesh. And human flesh is, in that sense of the word, lower than the form of angels. And the author of Hebrews is going to go to Psalm number 8 for a twofold explanation that this is exactly what was inferred in the Psalms about Christ, and that so Christ, in his death, in his incarnation, and in his resurrection, our fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets, and is truly the one that is spoken of in the Scriptures. Verse number 5, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." Christ, the angels, the coming world is not going to be in subjection to Christ, to angels. In fact, the Bible tells us that the church will judge the angels, and that the Bible tells us that Christ will be ruling over the world to come. And his future status is proof that he is greater than the angels, and that he is their Messiah. And verse number 6, "But in one certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" And we're going to go to to Psalm number 8 tonight, spend a little bit of time, because these are the verses that he is quoting. He is quoting from Psalm number 8, showing that in the Psalm, that this psalm was referring to Christ. And in this psalm, it specifically speaks about how Christ would be made lower than the angels. Okay? Psalm number 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." Now let me read Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And the psalm is introduced by saying, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. And then it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Of course, Matthew quotes this verse, and he quotes this verse speaking of those who spread garments before the Lord and said, Hail, Hosanna, Son of David. And of course, the religious rulers scoffed. They mocked. And their attitude was, Oh, these ignorant people proclaiming Jesus to be the Christ. And then Matthew quotes this verse, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. And we find the greatness of the Lord in verse number 1. In verse number 2, we find who it is that can recognize the greatness of the Lord. And we have embodied there a proper proper demeanor in that comes from the presence of the Lord. A proper demeanor that comes from knowing who the Lord is. Of course, it reminds us of Ezekiel when he saw the glory of the Lord in chapters 1, and he fell down at his feet as dead. Reminds us of John the Apostle as he saw the revelation of Christ in his glory. Revelation chapter 1, he fell at his feet as dead. We find Isaiah in Isaiah 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he says, Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. We find the attitude of mankind who correctly understand the greatness of God. And what would be the attitude of anyone who really knows the true identity of God? Well, that humble state, that humble attitude is described in verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. The appropriate attitude that comes from people who have truly recognized the greatness of the Lord. Now, when it says babes and sucklings, it certainly is in contrast to who? Sorry to say, it's in contrast to the natural state of pride of man. It's certainly in contrast to the religious leaders of that day. Who instead of bowing before Christ, attacked him and ridiculed him. It's certainly in contrast to what you might say the kind of intellectual approach that relegates God to some kind of intelligentsia. But it really describes the broken down, humble state of man that recognizes who God is and kind of puts a lot of things together. It kind of tells us, well, who really can understand the scriptures, and it's talking about this attitude. Now, verse 3, the psalmist says, when I consider thy heavens, God's heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And of course, the stars, the moon, all are in their place. God has put them there. Everything in our universe is precisely orderly because we have an orderly God. It wasn't there by accident. And so the psalmist says, when I consider the heavens, as David out in the fields keeping watch over his flocks, he looked at the stars. He understood the constellations. He understood the moons and the months. He understood a sense of the greatness of God. And he makes this statement. He says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? Now, the moon really is a very small object in outer space. Yet it is multiple times larger than any man. You think of the distance of the universe, and how do you measure the universe? Well, this is how you measure the universe. Is at the universe was created by God. And outside of that creation is the third heaven. That's where God is. And all the universe that they have not yet discovered the end of it was made by God. And David says, when I consider the heavens, what is man? It would be an exaggeration to say man is less than a speck. That would be an exaggeration. When you think of the greatness of the universe and that God made it with his fingers. Of course, just mentioning how God ordered it and how God created it. And talking about, again, the attitude of man toward God. You know, I think it's good for everybody just to get outside at night and look at the stars and think about how great God is. There's something humbling about it. There's something mighty humbling about it. And we're only, you know, and we don't even have a part of a comprehension how big it is. So he's talking about this attitude that man ought to have towards God. And the reality of how infinitesimally small man is, even in comparison to the rest of the universe, and yet God made it with his fingers. And so he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, what does that mean? Well, man is less than a speck of dust, but God is mindful of him, isn't he? He sent his son to die for us. You know, a lot of people say, well, are there people on other planets? There's a couple of answers to that. One is, the Bible says God made the heavens and the earth. It makes it very clear in Genesis 1 that the center of the universe is the earth. And on this earth, the Bible says, and God made man in his image. God made on this earth the heavens and the earth, that earth that is the center of the universe, on that earth he made man. And he made man in his own image. And that man that he made in his own image, that yea, did sin, God sent his son from heaven to die for the sins of the men on that earth. The whole Bible makes it a clear picture that there is one those aren't the right words. One race of man. One place, the earth. And then he says, okay, here's man, and the immense greatness of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I believe that refers to coming of Christ. Verse number 5, for thou hast made him, man, a little lower than the angels. But actually, if we read further, it's talking, according to Hebrews, here it's talking about Jesus. Now, he did make man a little lower than the angels. But look at the context and look at Hebrews and we'll say, oh, the writer of Hebrews knew that this was talking about Christ. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Notice again, verse 1, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. It would appear that the psalmist is talking about man. And you know, in Genesis, God did put the creation under his feet. He was to rule over creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that is moveth upon the earth. He was given this commission. But something happened. Sin came into the world. Sin came into the world. And man, because of his sin and sin in the world, man has failed to fulfill his commission over the earth and is unable to do it. But notice verse 6, thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Thou hast put all things under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:27. Turn there. 1 Corinthians 15:27. And this tells us that, even as Peter said, this Jesus whom you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. Verse 27, and he hath put all things under his feet. So through the resurrection, through the resurrection of Christ now, Christ now have dominion over all things. But he had to do something before he could do that. He had to die. He had to die. And to die, to be man's substitute, he had to become a man. He had to be made lower than the angels. He had to suffer on our behalf. He had to be our substitute. He had to taste death for every man. He had to come to release and defeat sin in this world. And so Hebrews chapter number 2, we'll go there. Even though Psalm 8 appears to refer to the role of man, the author of Hebrews said, no, this is talking about Christ. And so, verse 7, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. That's in his resurrection. Thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. That's the whole world. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. That's Christ. For in that he put all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And so man, not able to rule over this universe, he will with Christ in the millennium, but it was Christ who would have to become the captain of their salvation. Verse number 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So we have the writer of Hebrews answering the dilemma of the Jews. Oh, he looked like a man. He looked like a man. He died. He goes to the Psalms, Psalm number 8 in this case, and shows that the Psalm was written to be fulfilled in Christ, who was made lower than the angels. And so we have that he came so he could taste sin for every man. And that's what he did on Calvary's cross. And he, in the resurrection, has been raised from the dead, and now he is the captain of our salvation. And we are one with him. It tells us and shows us the victory is only in Christ. Man is under the penalty of sin. Man cannot fulfill his original role on this earth. Their captain had to come from heaven and die, taste death for every man, so that he might raise from the dead, victorious over sin, and bringing us into salvation and to share his glory in his future kingdom. Made a little lower than the angels for us. And you know, when you think of it, yeah, even as it says, we think of how the greatness of God, as seen by the greatness of the universe, and to think that the Lord descended from heaven's glory and came to this earth to be identified with us who are physically, in comparison to the universe, less than nothing. And it speaks of the tremendous greatness of God's love. It certainly challenges us tonight if we are really thinking correctly. I think the key of Andrew Murray's book on humility, he had two premises. He says the key of humility is really knowing who God is. And the second key to humility is really knowing who man is. And we usually fail on both areas. We in our minds often, and most often, probably the vast majority, well, can we really comprehend the greatness of God? We think much lower of God than who He is. And we think far higher than ourselves, than who we really are. And yet, if we look at Christ and see Him as who He is, the Bible would say that we would be spoken of as a people who would be categorized as out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. A people who recognize their total dependence on God. Something we need to be thinking about every day. Very often we don't. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity to reflect on who Christ is. As we think of His greatness as Creator, His greatness as seen in the fact that He created this universe and its immensity, and yet it was nothing for Him. And to think of how insignificant we are physically in comparison to the universe. Lord, the comparison certainly ought to humble us. And then to think that He left that all to die for us. And Lord, certainly we see our pride is so great that we can barely recognize our smallness, and we can barely recognize the greatness of Christ and how hard it is for us to even recognize the unspeakableness of the fact that He left heaven's glory, took on human flesh, and died for us. Lord, we ought to be a thankful people, more than perhaps we have ever seen. But we ought to be a thankful people. And we ought to be overwhelmed with the Lord Jesus, who He is, what He became, and what He did, and what He is even today. Lord, may these moments stir our thinking and our soul. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.